This summer, we are doing a series on the Beatitudes, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. So far, we've looked at two weeks in that series. The first is simply, what was Jesus proclaiming when he proclaimed the Beatitudes, and what did he mean by the word blessed? Last week, we looked at the first one of those. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? The Beatitudes are based on the premise that Jesus expounded, that we live between two frames of reference, those of us who are in the kingdom. There's what everyone sees, human history, the world in which we live here and now, and then the world that only those in the kingdom can see, God's history, God's agenda and plan, the world of shalom and justice that our mission is to bring about. And so we live in a time of tension, a place of transition in which God calls us to live as if the kingdom has already come and God's agenda for the world has already been accomplished. This summer, I've been rereading the Chronicles of Narnia, and it's interesting when you've got a sermon topic in your head what you find when you read a book like that. This week, I read The Silver Chair. And for those of you who are familiar with it, I'll remind you, it's about two human children and a marshwiggle from Narnia who've been sent by the great lion Aslan to find and restore the lost prince of Narnia. Well, they do find him. He's been held captive underground for years by the Green Witch. They release him from the evil spell that has kept him there, and they begin their escape only to find their way blocked by the witch herself, who has returned unexpectedly. She begins to beguile them and use the weapons of sweet words and music to convince them that Narnia doesn't even exist. And they are almost to the point of submitting to that suggestion when the marshwiggle sticks his foot in the fire so that the pain will force him out of this trance. And he responds with what I thought was as clear a statement of how we are called to live in this in-between time of the now and the not yet of the kingdom that I've ever heard. This is what he says. Suppose, he says to the witch, we have only dreamed or made up all those things, trees and grass and sun and moon and stars and Aslan himself. Suppose we have. Then all I can say is that in that case, the made up things seem a great deal more important than the real ones. Suppose this black pit of a kingdom of yours is the only world. Well, it strikes me as a pretty poor one. And that's a funny thing when you come to think of it, because we're just babies making up a game, if you're right. But four babies playing a game can make a play world which licks your real world hollow. That's why I'm going to stand by the play world. I'm on Aslan's side, even if there isn't any Aslan to lead it. I'm going to live as like a Narnian as I can, even if there isn't any Narnia. Living as like Narnians as we can, even if there isn't a Narnia. Living as citizens of the kingdom of God, even if no one else believes in that kingdom or its coming. That's the challenge Jesus gives us in the Beatitudes.